with a clap, let's invite our pastor, our shepherd, E.S. Joy. Put your hands together for her.
Hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah. Amen. You just want to bow down your head this morning. Thank the Lord for an opportunity to be here. Thank God for a chance to talk about evangelism and to be stirred up afresh. Thank him that he's made it possible. Last year it was not possible, but he has made it possible this year, and we are grateful. We are grateful. Hallelujah. Father, we are so grateful for your grace. We're so grateful for this opportunity. I pray, oh God, that what you will is what will happen during this conference in the name of Jesus. Even as we take off on our first morning session, I pray, Lord, that you will visit us. And at the end of it, may we know why we came. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Take your seat. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, this morning, I'm just a forerunner. Tell your neighbor, forerunner. Amen. The main speaker for this morning is Bishop Freddie Norte. And he will be joining us in the next session. Uh-huh. So, media, my job is, do you understand what a foreigner is? You come early, then you come and gather. Uh-huh. But we have to gather properly. Amen. Tell your neighbor, it still means that a word will be spoken. It still means a word will be spoken. Hallelujah. But those of you who have people who are on the way, I want you to tell your people that it's time to arrive. And I know that they'll say we left here very late last night. But so it is. So it is. Hallelujah. Amen. Reverend Albert, it's nice to see you. Reverend Albert is the pastor of the Infancy Church, our Infancy Church. People don't know where Infancy is, but if you want to know, one of our most followable churches is the Infancy Church. I feel like a member of the church. I go on it and I see major things happening. Hallelujah. To start a church from scratch and build it is really something. Hallelujah. And Reverend Beatrice is a friend coming from Crown of Victory Ministries, and she's in every Art of Evangelism conference. And thank you so much for that support. Hallelujah. And her church is not close by. It's on the Kesi Road, halfway to. So you're welcome. And all the rest of you here, you are very welcome this morning. Hallelujah. And while people are still gathering, I just want to share a short message with us this morning to set the tone for the rest of what is to come. Are you there? Oh, are you there? Uh-huh. Don't say that. You see, you are looking like the morning. Do you understand what I mean? You know how when you wake up and it's like some part of the body is not cooperating with another part of the body? But let's be alive. Hallelujah. You know, I thank God for this conference. This was a vision of something that God gave me in the year 2020, just around the time when, you remember, so 2020, we'll never forget it. Because of COVID, we'll never forget it. And I began to see how the enemy had tried to use things to scatter the church. But having said that, evangelism is also one of the things that if you don't have it, you are close to dying. Yeah. Are you there? Yes. Christians who don't evangelize, they are not going to last. And that's why many Christians die off after some time. So you see a young man, and in fact, we are notorious for that at KNUSD. You see somebody on fire doing so well, and then he finishes school, and that's it. That's it. All the fire is gone, and the next time you see him, he's a Sunday attendee. He's not even a Sunday worker, he's an attendee. He's just coming to church and doing nothing. Are you in the house? If you're in the house, I want to tell your neighbor that this will not be my story. This particular story, I don't mind where they say, but me, it will not be my story. Yeah. But it is real. Last weekend, I had the privilege of being in somebody's church. Well, you know, this conference, let me just put this in, that it's not so much part, it's not the church, it's part of Dag Hayward Mills Ministries, and this is something that we do. So I was in someone's church having a conference, and he told me his story. And he was a major shaker and mover on campus. Are you there? Then he finished. He said, while he was on campus, he was a papa on campus. He said, while he was on campus, he was major. And God had spoken to him, and he knew that he was called. But when he finished, he said, the call of money, it was stronger. It's also a call. And the call of money called him. And he became a major businessman. Earning, I think in 6 years or so, he began to appear as one of the youngest, richest people in Africa. Various things. And one day, and God told him that, hey, you, is that what I told you to do? And you see, when I look at his works today, his church is just 6 years old. It has 35 branches. It has built, Oh, his crusades are nice. Well, I mean, maybe we'll show you a clip. Maybe. Maybe this is an evangelism conference. I'm believing God that next year he will be one of our speakers. I've not told him yet. Yeah. But you see that this one is called. Are you there? Called. Yeah. You know. And the enemy almost called him. Hey. So may we not joke around with this conference. Hallelujah. Oh, are you here? Yesterday night, one of our bishops was saying to me that he realized after Dr. Kojo Bempa preached that even for us that we think we're an evangelistic church, that we have lost the wind. Yeah. But we are finding it again. Amen. Yeah. The reason why he said we have lost the wind is that we used to be really all the time. It's not confined to a month. It's not confined to some small space. We're always on it. I want you to ask your neighbor, when was the last time you had a proper outreach? Proper one, not the kind that you go and knock on the door and tell me that there was nobody there. A proper outreach that you went on, you yourself. Have you seen that you are looking something? And if your neighbor is not minding, you tell your neighbor that, Shre, it's a sign, say what theater, you are falling down already, you dear. Hey! Lady Rev, we used to win so. Look, we have to, and look, you and me, we have tear taught yesterday. Yes. Yeah, say, it's true. Hey, they don't understand what I'm saying. No. When we came to this town, this church was 23 people. And they didn't like us. They didn't want us. So we had to go out looking for people. Yeah, door to door. Oh, there are some roads. Yesterday I passed a certain road. That's where I passed. I said, Lady Rev, I have a feeling. Those roads were our. Every Saturday, they faced us on the road. Oh, I remember a certain house. It's somewhere in this direction. I won't tell you where. We got there Saturday. We were preaching to the... Oh, the thing was working. We were just about to lead people to Christ. And there was a lady in the room who had had a quarrel with one of them. And she chose that moment. Look, demons are real. So yesterday when Bishop Kojo was speaking, I was like, Charlie, preach it. As we got to the crucial point, this woman came out of the room in her towel and came and stood where we were and started to talk and untoweled herself. So immediately, confusion. Are you there? Yeah. Push your neighbor and say that we are coming back. And we are going to be hotter than ever. And we are going to win more souls than ever in the name. You see, you are not minding me. Be there and be quiet. Please, I'm looking at you. Those ones who believe, yes, we'll go and win souls. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Oh, but Pastor, we have been doing crusade. You see, crusade is one thing. It's different. It's also another something. Yeah, it's another something. Hallelujah. This morning, in preparation for what is going to come a little later, I want to just share with you about the privilege of a soul winner. The privilege of a soul winner. Oftentimes, we present soul winning as work. But this morning, I want to tell you that it's a privilege. It's a privilege. Somebody says that the English, you know, it weren't good at the time. What's a privilege? A privilege is something that is not there for everybody. Yeah. If you are an unbeliever, you will not be winning souls. If you are a backslidden Christian, you will not be winning souls. So it's not there for everybody. And so if you find yourself in a place where you are winning souls, it's a sign. Amen. And you should understand that it's a privilege that is given to you. Mm-hmm. Why are we calling it a privilege? One of the reasons why we'll call it a privilege is that that was the job of Jesus. It was one of his jobs. He had two jobs when he came. The two jobs are related. One was soul winning, the other one was shepherding. Those were the two things, major things he did. Let's go to scripture. I like to cover myself with scripture so that I'll not get text. Luke 19 and verse 10 says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." My question to you is that evangelism or not? To seek and to save that which was lost. Pastor Hope, I think you should come and sit on this side. Just by, with one, so that, it helps the cameraman a little. It's all part of the story, oh? Yeah. And so, Pastor, are you taking pictures of these few people? Yes, I will take pictures of a few people because somebody will be there. You'll be there tomorrow, and the Lord is speaking to you about starting something. And the people will be five. And you say, "Well, I can't start because they are five." Then you remember that, one morning there was a conference, and this is how it was, and it was still a conference. It's a conference or it's not a conference? And the Lord is going to move here this morning or it's not going to move here? It's going to move. Hallelujah. You see. So it says that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Is that not the work of evangelism? When we are going on evangelism, what are we looking for? We are seeking souls. And we are seeking to share with them the salvation message so that they will not be lost, you know. So he went to seek and save that which was lost. Hallelujah. Matthew 4. I'm just showing you how Jesus was doing his things. Please, those of you in charge of these fans, you should let the fan do its work. One is pointing somewhere and the other one cannot be felt. Matthew 4, 18 and 19. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." Is that not one-on-one? Oh, the people behind the laptops and the laptops, is it one-on-one or it's not one-on-one? That's what Jesus came to do, you see. So if you are to do, if right now they call you to come and be the head of the Bank of Ghana, you say you are privileged. Yeah, you say that it's a privilege because it's a high-ranking job. If they say your sister has become the head of WHO, no, even your walkings will change. Even how you walk, even... We'll be here, you start to tell us that, "Please, Master, come me around, I have to travel." Because your sister has bought your tickets for you. And how much more the job that Jesus was doing? And that's what I'm saying, it's a privilege. It's a privilege, hallelujah. Many people don't give their job to other people. But Jesus gave his job to us. Yeah. What even surprises me is that he gave it to unworthy people like us. Or you are feeling very worthy this morning, you see. Yeah? He has no doubt about who we are and how we are. And yet, he left us that job. And it's a privilege. Tell your neighbor, it's a privilege. Hallelujah. Amen. It is not, you see. Now, the thing is a privilege. I said to you that it's not given to everybody. You know, it's not given to everybody. I'm just going to read some scriptures. I told him, I'm preparing the way. Wow. All right, I'm going to some of my favorite scriptures. John chapter 15. I like John chapter 15. There's nothing you can do about it. John chapter 15. Some people were trying to intimidate me sometimes, so I'll stop quoting it, but I'll not be intimidated. Verse 5. "I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." Amen. So it means that if you are not in Christ, you are not going to bring much fruit. But if you are, that's the prerequisite. That's a privilege. Hallelujah. Then he says that if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Push your neighbor and say, maybe this conference, we should call it the anti-withering conference. You cannot wither. A soul winner, you cannot wither. You see, when they say something is withering, it's not that the thing has died. It has not died. To wither, you are drying up. And when there's no evangelism in your life, your Christianity begins to dry up. And when there's no evangelism in your church, the church begins to wither. Amen. The whole church begins to wither. What does it mean to wither? You are slowly losing water. And water is the source of life. I mean, it's so crucial. And as you are losing water, you know, you can lose water until you die. Yeah. As for food, you can be without food 3 weeks. But water, 3 days. After that, it begins to be dangerous. It begins to be critical. Amen. When I got to stand up here, I should have told you that, excuse us, it's a construction site, okay? So if you hear some strange noises and instance, don't be too worried. Don't be too worried. Don't be alarmed, okay? All right. So let's continue. Tell your neighbor that, look, me, I'll bear much fruit. Yeah. I'm continuing, verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. Now, this verse is in the context of what he has said before. This is for the people who are abiding, who are bearing fruit. And he's saying that, hey, if you ask, it will be given. And my experience is that as I have looked for souls, some things when I pray, I'm surprised he has answered, because I feel that I've not worked on the prayer. It's like, oh Lord, I just said it too, and you have done it. But it's not surprising. Give me my verse 16. I will not mind any of you. 15, 16. You want me to start quoting? You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Are you there? And ordained you to go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit shall remain. Now look at that promise there. That whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. It's a privilege. It's a privilege to have the answer to every prayer that you give. That when you pray, it's there. You have it. Oh, push your neighbor and say, neighbor, I didn't know. It's a privilege that you have the privilege of being somebody whose prayers are answered. Since that you go winning souls, because that's what the fruit bearing is. I always like to teach what fruit bearing is, because Christians, we have given some strange meaning to it. Your fruit bearing is not the laptop that you are working on right now. It's not the sound you are providing right now. It's not the camera that you are using to take the pictures that we'll use to have memories tomorrow. It's not the sweeping you swept before we also got a place to come and sit this morning. All those things are very important. That's what it is. The house needs them. Otherwise, it cannot be. But that's your service. That's your service. Your service in the house of God. It also has its reward. But I am yet to see a place where it says that your service in the house, when you do it, when you pray, God gives you everything you want. Maybe it's there. Please, if you know such a scripture, you can always come and contend. But I haven't seen it. The one I have seen is that when you bear fruit, you have the privilege of being somebody whose prayers God will answer. Because that's what he says. So what is bearing fruit? What is it? Take us to Jesus' confession. There are two. It's in Old Testament Isaiah. It's also in the New Testament. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. We are reading Jesus' fruit bearing. Charlie, somebody has to help me this morning, because if the thing continues to be this slow, it will not be good. Are you here? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Is that human being or not human being? Hello, we are talking about fruit. Your fruit can only be something concerning something like you. So what did Jesus do? To preach the gospel to the poor. And I'm asking whether it is something concerning people or not. People, okay. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. People or not? People, okay. To preach deliverance to the captives. People or not? Okay. Recovery of sight to the blind. People or not? Liberty. To set at liberty all them that are bruised. People or not? Yeah. So your fruit is something towards people. It's something towards people. It's what will make a person become to the Lord. It's what will make a person thrive in the Lord. We see it over there. It's Jesus who we are following. If we don't start this morning, no, it will be very critical. It's one of your things. It's be very, don't begin. Hallelujah. Are you in the church? Please put it off and put it off quickly. I think it's over here to my ears. It's from one of your monitors or one of your things. As you are sitting there, Monty. I need a water gun in the church. I used to have it. I'm sure somebody stole it. Somebody who needed watering, I'm sure. Hallelujah. Amen. So I hope you are seeing it, that there is something towards people. And as you do those things, God also responds. Amen. And not everyone is called. That's why the Bible says in Matthew 22:14 that many are called, but few are chosen. The call is there, but the number who actually respond, few. Hey, ask your neighbor, are you one of those who responded, or you are here because somebody forced you? Amen and amen. So soul winning means you are somebody taking care of people. But it's not just work. It means that there's a blessing in there that comes to you. Tell your neighbor, I have inherited a blessing. Now, I want to show you some scriptures also, which when I read them, I get happy. Because when you are a soul winner, another privilege you have is that you are somebody who walks in the supernatural. Some of us are not walking the supernatural, but maybe it's because we are not alerted to it. So let's just go to the scriptures. That's the best place to see it. And let's go to Acts chapter 4. You see. In Acts chapter 4, they had gone soul winning, Peter and John, and they had gone to proclaim the gospel, and then they had been caught, and they were trying to intimidate them, and so forth. Now, they came to pray, and in their prayer, you begin to see certain things. In Acts chapter 4, verse 29, let's start there. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Now, to me, this boldness is a supernatural thing. And I'm saying it's supernatural because if somebody has caught you, threatened you, tried to beat you, done various things, you are not bold. You are not bold. You become frightened. So it's a supernatural thing, you see. And they asked for it, that we want boldness. Let's continue. Look at something. Then they said, by stretching forth thy hand, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. As we are sitting here, we carry different gifts. Some of those gifts you will never know that you have it until you go sharing the gospel somewhere, until you go, you know, witnessing to somebody, and the situation that you are in, suddenly you realize that, son, now you are gifted. Remember, he said that he will back us up with signs and wonders. But you haven't seen it because you haven't gone in a certain way. You know, and as you go, you begin to see that, son, I mean, I have something. Then to your neighbor and say, neighbor, look, you may not look like you have anything, but you won't know till you go. You won't know. Then look at verse 31. Whenever I used to read verse 31, I used to get excited. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. Not the place where they were requesting their own needs, not the place where they were requesting money, the place where they were requesting more boldness and signs and wonders to go and win souls. That's the place, and it's the only place in the Bible that we know of that the place, well, it's not the only place. When Jesus died also, the temple was shaken. But you can see it. The place, it was shaken. Have you had a prayer meeting before for the place to shake? And look at it. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And then they spoke the word of God with boldness. The thing they asked for, they got it. Remember the promise. If you're going to be a soul winner, if you ask, I'll give you. I'll give you. Wow. Wow. It's not over yet even. Verse 33. Every verse is showing us the supernatural things. Look, I don't know if you like supernatural things, but if you like supernatural things, I want you to start to remind God, I'm here, Lord. These supernatural things they are talking about.
I'm inside. Look at something in verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. With great power. We think that power is only when you lay your hands on someone and the person falls. But these guys were witnesses. The Bible says the way in which they even did it was with great power. Great power. Meanwhile, many of us, the spirit of mouth has attached itself to us. And we are, you know what I mean by the spirit of mouth? Even when you are supposed to go in, we say, hello. Hello, please, my name is, can I talk to you for a minute? No wonder the person looks at you and says, no. But these guys were walking in the supernatural. And the Bible says, with great power, they gave witness of the resurrection of the Lord. You see, we have Easter every year. So we don't realize that the resurrection of the Lord It's something. Somebody who has died. Hey. Have you ever gone to a funeral before? Have you ever buried somebody you really love before? Buried family members. And you stand there and you are wishing that they will get up again. But you realize that if they got up, cry, you run away. Are you here? But these guys began to talk about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody who was killed that everybody saw. Somebody who was buried that everybody saw. Then the person got up again. And the Bible says they spoke about it with great power. And it continues to say, and great grace was upon them all. When we say grace, because it's not money, many of us can't relate. Grace. When you see, the best place to see grace is to see people preaching the gospel. I mean, or see them not even preaching the gospel, but preachers. You understand what grace is. Because grace is what makes an ordinary man not look ordinary. Grace is what makes the person look special. Some of you who are here that are listening to me, you are a basenta leader, a cell leader, a something. As you are going to meet your people, cry. There's no grace, but I'm showing you that you can now begin to open this one and pray and say that if you have done it for one, you do it for me. You have done it for one, you do it for me. That as I'm going to preach, because I'm a winner of souls, that you will give me great power and then you give me great grace. Yeah. Because the way human beings are today, you need the power and you need the grace. Yeah. You need the power and you need the grace. To face the shamelessness. Total shamelessness. Are you there? Then they'll rather be intimidating you and you are also dodging. No. Great power. You know, when I read this scripture, I'm reminded of a friend who, we were unbelievers at the same time together. And then I became a believer. When I became a Christian, I realized that, look, based on the kind of life that I had, if I didn't inform all my friends on campus, I was doing my national service, if I didn't tell them that I was a Christian, I would backslide. So I made up my mind that when I see you, no, I'll tell you that it's not as it was. I've given my life to Christ. So I was getting all kinds of responses. Then I met this friend. I saw him on his way up. I said, my God, super, to tell this guy that I'm born again, I'm finished. Based on how he was, I'm finished. He was a very wild human being. Are you in the house? Yeah. I'd only survive that his friend by respecting the wildness. Very wild. The guy used to sleep with about 5 women a day. Yeah. It eventually gave him a stroke at the age of 25. Yeah. And the doctor actually told him that the body was not made to take that, you know. But the guy was just into everything. So when I saw him coming, I said, hey, Lord, did I really make this promise? Because the way this guy is going to laugh, you know, I will feel it. Am I talking to some people in the church? Anyway, so the guy came up, and when he came up, my door was open. And the next door, because, you know, National Service on campus, you live among The next door were also some Christians, and their door was also open. So as he was about to knock on my door, he saw the people sitting there. What should I hear from his mouth? Praise the Lord. What did you say? Not knowing that in those few months that we had been off campus for some time, the guy had also met the Lord. You see, he had also met the Lord. But I'm telling you about him because he now became a different kind of person. And when I think about somebody with great power and great grace, I remember that guy. Remember that he had a kind of life. And remember that everybody knew that kind of life. And then he has come back onto campus and he has come as a believer. You can imagine the pressure and the laughter and the everything and the everything. Are you in the house? And this guy rose up and he would preach anywhere, anytime. And on his floor, I remember that there were some guys there who used to play music indiscriminately. Yeah, all the halls have them. You know, you have this big speaker, you turn it up. While you are in your room, nobody can think, nobody can do anything. Are you here? So, on his floor, there were people like that. And he begged them that, I beg you, turn the thing down so that I can also do what I'm doing. He asked one, they didn't mind him. You know how they'll turn it down, so then turn it up. He asked two, they said, no problem. No problem. In those days, we believe that as for Thanks Day, if you have Thanks Day, you have to shout. It was our belief. At the time, it didn't matter because most of the time we were praying on a park. Even quiet time, you leave your room and go to a park. But the guy decided, okay, you want to do what you want to do? I also will do what I want to do. He'll wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I want to pray. Are you in the house? Come on! Instant reactions. He said, hey, stop. Were you not playing your music? Did I spoil you or something? Me too. It's my prayer time. I have come. Do you know that by that, I cannot tell you the number of people who gave their lives to Christ? Yeah, as they saw a certain power and grace on a life. Yeah. Because some of us would have run away. Your mouth spirit would have come. You would go and complain to your neighbor, can I perch with you because they are disturbing? But there is certain power. And I realized that the way he was wild for the devil, he had become wilder for the Lord. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 34. We're still in the same Acts chapter 4. Are you noting the things? Are you taking note of the supernatural? Oh, tell your neighbor, I'm going to be walking in the supernatural. You see, the way you are saying it, me, poor that I'm a human being, I don't believe you. You better say it so that when Satan hears, he knows that you mean it. I said, tell your neighbor, I'm going to be walking in the supernatural. Tell the neighbor on the other side, great power and great grace are upon my life as I witness. Oh, yes. You have been crying, small school fees. Have you seen the solution? What? So you have been crying all night over your needs. You will be praying for your needs. That's why we are struggling. People don't have their needs met. Do what he asked you to do. Then he will also do what he said he would do. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, as this church of people continued, and continued. Look at something that happened in verse 34. And it was amazing. Last night, the man of God said the same thing. He began to talk about how it is our route to prosperity. Neither was there any among them that lacked. This was a church that was just focused on evangelism. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of those things that were sold. 35. And laid them at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. I have to tell you something. This church in the book of Acts was actually a church under great distress. Because soon after this, we begin to read how the persecution began. We begin to read how they had to run away from their homes, had to leave everything. It was a church that didn't have money. Look, if Peter arrives here today, we don't consider this our church as a rich church. But I tell you, he'll say, hey, you have a carpet in your church? No, no, wait, first, he'll start with the building. You have a building? Then he'll come and say, hey, you have light in the night? I say, wow, when I was an apostle, night is night, there is no light. Hey, you have a carpet? You have tiles on your floor? Really? Hey, you have Bible? Actually, Bible that you can hold, you have some? One man, one Bible. Hey, really? So you just open your Bible yourself and read. Not that you have rolled it away and it's somewhere you... Hey, one man, one Bible, really? As you are preaching, you are holding microphone. Hey, Sammy, I used to shout, oh. Then you also have... Somebody has even written books on the Bible. And you have that one to explain to you. They didn't have all those things. They didn't have all those things. On top of that, there was persecution. On top of that. On top of that, if you are a Christian, you have to run away, you know. One of the things I notice is that persecution is better for the church than peace. You know what I'm saying? Look at us. Who is persecuting us? Ghana, we are one of the easiest countries to preach in. You can just take a box, stand on any street, even in the middle. You can even disturb traffic. Nobody will come and pull you down from there. And yet, the church is not strong. Hey. You want me to prove to you that you're not strong? I should prove it. How many people are at your all night? No backbone. Cannot pray. You are very quiet, as if you are not in the church. I'm looking at some of my shepherds. You only come because you have a pastor who will force you. That's all. No, and there's no other reason. If they leave you pay, you will not come. Even yesterday, I realized that a lot of my people were not here. And I knew that small rain that has fallen, the rain has stopped. For you to just get a boat and come or walk and come, it's like it's too much. Church has become very... Mistakes were here before them. Push your neighbor, say neighbor. It is you they are talking about. It's you. It's you they are talking. Yeah. We have become so weak. Hey. If we say do an all night now, you are sleeping. Hey. Flo, wake up at 4. They are warning me that I shouldn't go there, especially this morning. This morning my lights were out and I thank God that I won't be able to see who was part of Flo and who was not. So it's okay. It's all right. Hey. Are you there? And the reason is because we are a comfortable church. We are comfortable. If we were worshiping God with our lives on the line, you'll see seriousness. You'll see seriousness. And everywhere that the church is under persecution, you see a lot of seriousness. Oh, yes. I've worked in countries that you cannot even... You're looking at my mouth. I'm just reminding myself that I'm about to go back. I should be careful. Yeah. I've worked in countries where you cannot even take a picture. Because if you take the picture, when you get to immigration, you came in as a tourist. And they'll ask you, let me see. I want to see your phone. And there you are in a church. We thought you said that you've come here as a tourist. Am I talking to some people? There's another one. There's a place, Charlie. Every church is behind closed doors. You will not see a church like this, that the doors are open. No. It's either upstairs, entirely closed. Walls are soundproof. And that's where they have their service. And they go in there, and in such a place, they spread the gospel. In such a place. Yeah. Push your neighbor and say, hey. Hey. Yeah. Are you in the house? So I'm just sharing with you that the church in the book of Acts was a very impoverished church in a certain way. Yeah. And they were very, very powerful. Amen. My time is almost up. I'll be going to bring Bishop Freddie in. But let me just share. We are talking about the privilege. The privilege. One of the privileges of being a soul winner is that the presence of God is with you. Yeah. In Matthew chapter 28, let's take it from verse 18. Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. Have you seen the conditions for his presence always? What's the condition? To go. To go. And when they say teach all nations, if you don't have a church, you can't teach. If you don't bring people together, to teach them, you've got to bring them together. That's what gives credence to the church. Hallelujah. And so it's a privilege. And you see that his presence is with you always. Now, somebody may say, if his presence is with us always, why don't I see miracles happening? Why are people not falling down right now? Because a presence is just that, a presence. His presence is just a presence. Doesn't necessarily mean that he's doing anything. Amen? When somebody is present, every human being, even a human being, you have an aura. Have you ever been in a room, somebody came in silently, didn't make a noise, but you felt it? Ah, you are quiet. That thing, that's an aura. It's an aura. The person didn't make a noise. Didn't make a noise, but it's like, and it actually, you actually turn. Sometimes somebody's just staring at you. Person hasn't said a word, hasn't touched you, isn't close to you, but the person just, look, that thing is the presence. It's the presence. Are you here? And he says that my presence will be with you always. And it's important for you to remember it, because when you go on soul winning, sometimes you feel so alone. And you feel that this place that I am, remind yourself that he has promised me that insofar as it is souls that I'm winning, his presence is with me. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. Oh, it's a good, thank you for clapping. It's a good place to clap. Yeah. It's a real privilege. Hallelujah. Am I talking to some people this morning? Oh, then the last one I'm going to share with you. I have one or two points and I close. But look at this one. To be a soul winner is a privilege, because it shows that you have been chosen. Ah. To be chosen is a privilege. To be chosen, it is a privilege. You know, some of you were senior prefects, dining hall prefect, this and that and that and that. So you don't understand what it is not to be chosen. But those of us who they didn't choose us, look, one day I thought about it. I heard my father say they didn't choose him as blackboard cleaner. And I said, oh, thank you for sharing it, because me too, Sam. They didn't choose me. I wanted to be bell girl. They didn't choose me to even just ring the bell that class is over. Oh, you are very quiet. Oh, they didn't choose me. When they were choosing major prefects, where the Mekai? Are you there? Then I came on campus. On campus, I was an unbeliever. All my friends, Charlie, Friday night is coming. We all like jamming. All of them. This guy has invited, this guy has invited, this guy. All have been chosen. I was the only one. I'll dress up and say, oh, at least one of my classmates will be there. I'll go and I'll just, hey, just so beyond choosing, we are sure any man. Oh, come on. But one day I met somebody, and that person told me that Jesus chose me. I don't know who you are. I don't know what your problems are, but I'm telling you this morning, people may not think you are anything. People may not even like you, but there's somebody who chose you. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. Hey, it's a privilege. Are you there? Yeah. It's a privilege to be chosen. John 15:16, just the top. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. When I think about these words, I'm moved, because maybe you don't know your lousiness. I know mine. Hey, mistakes on this earth. Sunday night, I sat in my office. We were doing something. We said, Charlie, our prayer for the conference, we need a little more. Reverend, Monday morning, it's not that I was doing some other prayer. I forgot. Hey, the pastor who I said, I brought the idea. I said, oh, Pastor David, why don't we just do 1 hour, 1 hour? I said, oh, man, Kayo. Hey, when I said, hey,
God. If I were you, I wouldn't choose me. Oh. You see, you are very righteous. Oh. You dare, you are meeting the criteria. So you now, you know that, oh, God is privileged he has you. But some of us, we are so aware of our feelings. I woke up in the morning and I said, my Lord, thank you that the things you do don't depend on me. I'm grateful. Thank you for choosing me in spite of it all. In spite of it all. Are you in the church? When we become Christians, small, we forget how we were. Seto, you have forgotten? I don't want to call names. Then don't say I've disgraced them. Hey! Some of you ladies, you had multiple boyfriends. As you are sitting here today, the Lord has wiped your face. You don't look like it. When I met Tim's, he's trying to intimidate me, but I'm not intimidated. Tim's came to campus as a Christian. Hey! When he came and fell in love with some girl. Every day, Tim's and this girl. He won't come to church. Oh, I'll be in my office. He has come over another issue about the hair. But Timo, it's true. You should remember. You should remember. Today you are here, a man working with a job. Your pastor is in trouble, and I'll call you and say, "Can I help? Can you help me?" And you get up and come. Oh, look, it is the choosing of the Lord. You need to respect it. You need to respect it. Yeah, I'm talking to some people in the house. Or am I forgotten? Or am I too? She came to school. First day, just a happy bird walking around. Then she went and fell in love with some guy. Hey! Her whole life. Hey. Are you in the church? Because of this one guy. She will say I'm embarrassing her. I'm embarrassing her. Lady Reverend Humi. Lady Reverend Humi is my sheep. She was a nurse at NTC. And she had some boy. But she said she can't leave the boy. Don't allow her to leave the church. Who Johnny Akona White? Hey. And are you in the church? I said, are you in the church? But God chose her. I remember the day my husband woke up and said, that's your daughter. She's worth more than 10 male pastors. That's what he told me. We are witnesses to it in this church. We are witnesses. Why? Because God chose her. You are here thinking about somebody's past. You won't think about your own. I said, you won't think about your own. That in the middle of your mess. Yeah. Me, I came from a home that there was no problem. My parents were not fighting. They were not trying to divorce. All the things that make children have problems, I didn't have some. I just came to campus that the thing that they call life. I feel I'm a barber, so I should. Hey! The guy, you won't come and invite me to the party. I'm coming myself. Oh, come on. You are looking at me. I'm bad. You take your goodness. And Yeshi, take your goodness. Hey, when I come home, perfect daughter. Perfect. You will not smell it around. Oh, no sign. A1 daughter. When I leave my father's house. Oh, man. Man. Are you in the church? I remember that it was so much so that when I became a believer and I started telling my friends, one of my friends, when I told her, she looked at me and said, you are born again. And yet there's hope for all of us. I was so bored. Are you in the church? But I don't know about you, but he chose me. He chose me. And he chose you. He chose you even with your hypocrisy, looking as if you are some perfect. Because as we are even in the church now, you are in the church and still. Sometimes you'll be talking to me and then the Holy Ghost will tell me something about you. I just don't say it. I just leave it. I say, in his time. In his time. Somebody was sitting there talking. Che. The Holy Ghost just said, every word is a lie. Everything. Now, mommy, description. Oh, come on. But he chose us. What a privilege. What a privilege. I thank God he was not looking for perfect people. I thank God he was not looking for holy people. I thank God he was not looking for rich people. I thank him that he was not looking for people who are spiritual, but he was looking for you and for me. And rather, it is after us he chose us, then he began to make something out of us. Oh, I'm telling you, I don't know about you, but me, when I'm worshiping God, the tears come easily because I remember where I came from. I remember it could easily not have been so. Yeah. It could easily not have been so. It could have been a different story. Oh, yes. Some of you, you would have been dead by now. Yeah, long time. I love you, Lord.
For your mercy never.
Oh, yes. When you sing it, think about the words. Think about it.
And all my days. I've been held in your
That's why you have not perished yet.
From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will say,
oh, Lord, you have been good. Of it.
I love your voice.
Oh, what a leading.
You have led me through the fire. In the darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as
grateful. Begin to thank him. Begin to thank him. Thank him for the privilege of being called to be a soul winner. Thank him for the privilege of sharing his job with him. Thank you for the privilege of making something out of you. Thank him for the privilege of having your prayers answered all the time. Thank him for the privilege of his presence around you. Thank him for the privilege of his power. Thank him for the privilege of his grace that is following after you. Oh, we give you praise. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Ah, we are grateful.
just thank him for a moment. Take a little time to thank him for choosing you. Thank him even for bringing us to this conference to remind us and rekindle it in us. Because, you know, we remember, then sometimes we forget. We win souls, and then sometimes we cool off, you know. But he has brought us here right at this time. Thank him. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We give you all the praise. We give you all the praise. We are grateful. We are grateful. Thank you so much. Thank you for choosing such as us. Thank you for not requiring perfect people. Thank you, Lord, that you kept us through the mess of our former days, and you brought us. Oh, forgive us for dropping off at times and not doing what we must do. Forgive us. But even as we have gathered, Lord, let that fire be rekindled. Let that fire be reawakened. Let that fire rise up, oh God. Oh, we thank you. In Jesus' name, and all the saints shall say, amen and amen. God bless you. Take your seat. Oh, hallelujah. If you are clapping, put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.